This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
شما در این قرن معجزه کردید. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر. خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر. خمینی رهبر.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World and is Still Changing It. Once again, we are going to be speaking about the life and times of Imam Khomeini, this great and holy personality who has certainly changed the world forever. And I'm going to, as usual, have a in-depth discussion about this great man's life with Dr. Hassani, who is once again has joined us on this program to discuss this very, very important personality, and I thank him for that. And Dr. Hassani, salam and welcome to the program.
Salam alaikum.
Dr. Hassani, we finished off on the point about Ahlul Bayt. I think we were discussing the significance of the belief in this particular hadith that we were talking about in terms of the legacy of the Holy Prophet. And of course, Imam Khomeini, we mentioned before, comes from the holy family of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and he re-emphasized that very important hadith for the whole Muslim world, that there are two very, very valuable things that we should focus on, and that is the Holy Quran and the holy family of the Prophet. And that these two things should be given the importance and priority that they deserve. But to begin with, you know, we have to look at this great personality from the point of view that how does one actually study a great personality like Imam Khomeini? What's the kind of approach that's required in terms of trying to get to grips with such a complicated personality as Imam Khomeini, because there are many, many dimensions to this holy soul that we have been discussing over the last 10 programs, because it's not only a kind of one-dimensional personality. This is a multi-dimensional personality, and it's very difficult for, I think, many, many people. I mean, there's a book that has been published on Imam Khomeini, which is a compilation of what people have thought as in terms of expertise in politics, in economics, in religion, whatever it happens to be, in a book called Asr Imam Khomeini, The Era of Imam Khomeini. But to be honest, even going through that book, even when I was looking through that and, you know, translating it from Persian, you know, you find that, you know, simply seem to see one side or one aspect of this multidimensional being. And yet they don't quite fully grasp what he's done. So, Dr. Hassani, tell us, you know, because you're a researcher and an academic in the holy seminaries of Qom, as well as for the academia in Tehran. Tell us, how does one actually approach this personality?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
This is a very delicate subject.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to give you
sure
the most simple example in order how to approach to study such a person like Imam Khomeini, peace be upon him. And by the way, we are going to try. You know, there is no claim on our side.
Absolutely. Sure. I mean, really, yeah, of course. I mean, trying is the word.
In order to understand somebody, you have to know the background of his life.
Sure.
I give it to you simple. The way that you should study somebody's life, you can look at what kind of claim he has, or she, for that matter.
Right.
What the claim might be. This is the beginning of to enter the gate of studying. You know, in English, the word search and research.
Yeah.
Search is more simpler than research, of course.
Of course it is.
When you lose something, you know, let's suppose you lose your car key.
You're right.
And if you ask your wife, where is that?
Yeah. And she always tells you it's
exactly.
in your pocket.
But to get serious, if it's not in your pocket and you misplace it,
sure.
the natural thing to say is, why don't you look for it?
Yeah.
Why don't you search for it?
Search for it.
But you don't use the word research.
No, you don't.
If you search for it once, if you look for it once, and you still cannot find it, they might say to you, why don't you re-look somewhere else?
Sure.
In order to understand so many different things, different phenomena, if you look at the word itself, it helps you to begin with. Let me give you an example. What Imam Khomeini claimed in his holy life, that 80-some years of his age within us, that was a big claim. I can tell you right away, he had the same claim that Prophet did.
And that, what claim was that?
The claim is that everybody should live according to the rules and laws of the Creator to be a good person.
Right.
For example, in order to study the life, the holy life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his holy progeny.
Sure.
In order to understand Islam, you have to study his life. In order to understand what kind of background he's coming from, what kind of claim, and that was a big claim, by the way.
Yes.
He was Rahmatan lil Alameen. He
That's
was
right, the mercy
for
to mankind.
The entire mankind.
For the whole of mankind, yes.
Not just the mankind of his own time,
sure.
but for the rest of creation.
Yes.
For
and of course the Holy Prophet had to also validate his prophethood as well, because there were many other monotheistic followers, or Hanifs even, who followed Prophet Abraham, who followed Prophet Moses, for example, or Christianity as Prophet Jesus.
Which is a chain order.
Yeah, chain order.
Of
but
the
they,
same message.
But they said, they, as far as they were concerned, they turned around and they said to the Holy Prophet, that look, we've been given the last revelation. We have the last claim on this matter. Where do you come into all this?
So in order to study Islam and the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the first thing comes to your mind, the location, the geography that he lived in.
Right.
Of course, it was Arabian Peninsula. But in order to look at the bigger picture, you have to study the entire globe at that time.
Yes.
This is something, you know, often we forget or we take for granted.
Yes.
We say it's enough to learn about the new, it wasn't, by the way, it wasn't a new religion. It was the continuation of all the religion that Prophet Abraham was talking about, Prophet Noah, and so on and so forth.
Sure, because
it was a completion of...
It was the completion of...
The whole program.
Yeah, whole program.
So one thing comes to mind, you know, during the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the ignorant of the people at the time. For example, they killed their own daughters by their own hand.
Yes.
For whatever the reason. We're not going to get into that.
No.
But my question to you is this, Brother Ejaz.
Yes.
Have you ever thought about what people did in China back then?
Yes, I have.
But you have to put everything
because
in perspective.
Because you're right. No, what I'm
saying
is... You
talk about civilization, you talk about the culture.
Exactly,
here.
Because you know what you're saying is, and it's beautifully put, and that's absolutely right, that you know when you think of 7th century, you have to think exactly what the world was like in the 7th century.
Exactly, you have because, to study Romans at the same time.
Exactly, because of
the
course,
Iranians,
I mean
the Persian, they called them.
Yeah, I mean, in the 7th century, Rome itself as a republic had stood for almost 1,000 years and, you know, had conquered most of the known world at that time.
That is true.
And the thing is that, as you say, we're putting everything in a context. So what you're saying is the beginning of your search is really
by
looking...
By definition. Research is not something just, you know, you do it on surface.
Exactly.
You have to go into a deeper...
And more broader understanding of exactly what's happening.
All different phenomena that you can find.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yeah.
So... Indian, for example, Chinese back then,
yep.
Persians, Romans, how about Egyptians?
Yes. One of the oldest standing civilizations in the region.
See, you have to think about the whole thing, the whole picture.
Yeah.
Same thing goes with the life of Imam Khomeini, peace be upon him.
Yes, quite.
You have to study not just what was going on inside Iran back then, okay? Domestically, you have to know what kind of mentality people had back then.
Sure.
What kind of... economical situation they were in.
In other words, in terms of understanding how outstanding and how awesome Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayh was in terms of what he, as you say, what he claimed, but we have to see it in the light of the fact that he's in the face of a very dominant, powerful culture at that
exactly.
time, for which they had no answer.
The position of Iran domestically, in the regional, in what they call the Middle East, and the role of foreigners.
Yes.
American government.
Both in the country and outside
the country.
Both in the
country and outside.
Yeah.
All these different phenomena, different realities on the ground, it affects your research.
Of course it does.
And it draws the conclusion differently.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
What kind of economical situation was established in Iran before revolution? And you have to get, don't get me wrong, you have to go way back, at least for 20 years before revolution.
Yes.
What kind of mentality what kind of background Imam Khomeini was coming from?
Yes.
This is very important in doing research.
Yeah.
And you always have to go back again and do the check and balance.
Exactly.
And check it with the references.
Well, I mean, this is the thing that, you know, like as you point out, I mean, there's many references involved here because Imam Khomeini is coming on the back, not only on the back, but also was leading in many ways this very revolutionary change in Iran because, you know, the fact that, you know, he had a referendum right at the beginning, which was outstanding. I mean, nobody expected that a guy who would come out of Hoza, who would come out of the seminaries, would preach a referendum to validate a republic, an Islamic republic.
You have to be as big as the universe itself in order to tackle this kind of problem.
Exactly.
This is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
Because we believe, you know. Mm. By the way, Imam Khomeini lived according to his belief.
Yeah, sorry. But on the background that you had dictatorship in the form of monarchy, where the vote was not heard of. And when the CIA got whiff of the fact that Mossadegh, the prime minister in 1951,
you know,
was going
say,
down this road.
It's easy to say that the system was monarchy.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But for them, they acted like a pharaoh. They were so big.
Yeah.
I mean, they would call themselves all this king of kings.
Kings,
they
yes.
They called themselves the shadow of God.
Yes, there was also that claim.
That made the story different.
Yes.
I mean, for us, after revolution, we're talking about, Brother Ejaz, this is years after revolution, the Islamic revolution we're talking. It's so easy to talk.
Yeah.
But in order to put yourself in that situation, it's very difficult and it takes time. And it takes a struggle in order to understand it.
Yeah.
You know, our claim is this, that Islam is a perfect one.
Yeah.
Perfect program for humanity,
sure.
The entire globe.
Sure.
So this is a big claim.
Yeah.
And Imam Khomeini in claiming and believing in this is no exception.
No.
But the thing is that as a great leader, everything he claimed, he had to have a backup.
Yeah.
A social understanding to begin with.
Yeah.
Okay. After all, Islam is a collective, comprehensive, general, it's a broad religion, which claims that it can take good care of every human
need,
affairs, and needs.
And needs, yes.
And it will.
Yeah.
You have to prove it that.
Where?
Because we have to come up with a social and economical and political system.
Yeah.
And you know, nowadays.
Well, I mean, to be fair,
you can see the result of it.
To be fair, as you say, that, you know, when you put this into a context, and that's very important in terms of research, and that is what you're saying, that the approach has to be comprehensive. Because if you, it's like, you know, like we're doing modeling, for example. I mean, I come from an engineering background. And of course, if your model lacks...
Which makes a good example.
Yeah. If your model lacks certain assumptions, which don't really fill the parameters of the exact thing that you're trying to analyze, well, the result is going to be pretty
skewed.
And
you always have, in order to write a good building, you always have to use the plumb line.
Exactly, exactly. But what I'm saying here is that we want to put all the ingredients into our research approach so that we get the right kind of... we take the right kind of... what do you call the result that we really need in terms of understanding the entire approach that this great personality did? Because as you say, the claim is very great. But to be fair, in the context of history, even though, you know, that's very controversial, and many of us who have studied Muslim history in the past come away with a very negative impression of the overall picture of what the Muslim world was like for many, many centuries. But we can't ignore the fact that Islam, even in whatever shape or form it was for many centuries, dominated the entire globe for almost 1,000 years, for which Europe had no answer. Even though the Muslim world was broken up into 3 or 4 empires. There was the Empire of Spain, of Andalusia. There was the Empire of the Mughal India. There was the Empire of the Safavids in Iran. There was the Empire of the Ottomans. So, I mean, although they come in successive chronological order, I mean, we're not saying they're all happening at the same time. But whatever periods of history in which there were fundamental changes, but even though at the end of the day, Europe, whatever modern Europe is now, it couldn't have happened unless Islam was there. So although we are saying it's a big claim for many, many needs, but it's because there has been a vacuum since the time that these empires collapsed and then Muslims started to fall backwards economically, politically, because Europe started to take over and started to dominate this the rest of history until the present day. But in that light, Imam Khomeini is still coming from a context in which Islam still left a very great legacy for the rest of the world to follow.
Big claim deserves big struggle.
Sure.
Okay, the moment you're not claiming anything, so you... it's so easy for you to deal with whatever. Nobody's going to ask you. Nobody's going to question you. Nobody's going to challenge you.
Yeah.
But the moment you claim something,
yeah,
you have to...
validate it.
You have to validate it. You have to come out of it clean.
Sure.
Okay, in order to finish that introduction that I gave
those that
have some problems, you know, we talk about ideology here.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Mm.
Those people... and they're coming from different school of thought, whatever, for what different reason. We're not getting into that. Mm. It's not going to help us much.
Mm.
But to those that who claim they always that coming Islam, returning Islam inside the country, the Persia, it's very easy for them to say they call it Arab invasion, which wasn't the case.
No,
you
it
talk
wasn't.
About if you talk about material, how come a great empire like Persian, like old Persian empire, could collapse in a short period of time?
Mm.
And they claim that Arab soldiers, you know, they came to Iran with sword. So Iranian army back then, they didn't have sword to defend their own country.
Let's put it in some historical context. Here we are talking about...
because when you do research, you have to do a lot of studies.
We are talking about the time...
you have to do a lot of comparisons.
Exactly.
You have to do a lot of different things.
Well, there's a lot of PhDs that have been written on the thesis that have been done on this research, but we're talking about...
I hope those PhDs doesn't mean please hold a debate.
No.
So they should be able, in order to back whatever they say with facts.
But the thing is, that whatever they've come up with, and this has stunned them, in all honesty, when they have come up with these, and I've seen some of these theses, where they have been absolutely stunned by the extraordinary speed with which the Muslim empire started to expand. Because we are talking about, as you quite rightly say, a Persian empire that stood for about 3...
what happened? This is a simple question.
Yeah, 3,500 years. Right? You know, taking it to its origin, but it only collapses within the 10-year period of the second caliph, if I can put it that way, within a matter of a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
It's extraordinary. How does that happen?
One should ask himself why.
Why? Exactly.
You know, we don't have to give answers to any questions.
No.
I mean, the approach for some people should be differently.
Yeah.
I mean, for as long as you want to stay student, you're not going to grow.
Yeah.
All these different lectures, speeches you go to, all different books you read, which is fine. Mm. You're supposed to do that.
Sure.
But for a second, come out of yourself.
Mm.
This is my claim.
Yeah.
This is my way of approaching things.
Sure.
You have to pause for a second and say, look, I am somebody in this creation too.
Sure.
I can be as big as whoever.
Mm.
I can achieve as much as
whoever
somebody else
sure
did. Okay?
Sure.
There is an Imam Khomeini inside every single of us, because we're going to talk about that claim. That claim is of a genuine one.
Mm.
When you're talking about justice, you're not talking about something in vacuum.
No.
You talk about reality on the ground. You
sure.
know, back during Shah's regime.
Sure.
We lived it.
Mm.
I felt it. I saw the unjust.
Mm.
Okay? With different talent, good talent, you know, bunch of elites people, if they were not attached to the system, to the monarch system, if, for example, they disputed, they challenged the system of king, which was very difficult,
sure.
they could face torture, they could face imprisonment, they could face to be sent into exile, just like they sent Imam Khomeini to exile.
Sure, sure.
Okay, what did he do? What did he say for the regime, you know, to actually, if you want to describe it, the way that they took Imam from his house in Qom, it was some kind of kidnapping.
Sure.
How come a civilization, somebody who claims that he can take care of people?
Well, Dr. Husni, I wanted to say here that you're drawing a very, very interesting parallel here, because you already you're drawing a line here where you're saying that it's that interesting.
And my mission here is to raise questions. So many different of them.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if you let me finish my point,
please.
That is that there's two interesting parallels you're drawing here. You're drawing about how Iran or the Persian Empire, in the context of the 7th, 8th century, how it quickly was absorbed by Islam, and which was a miracle in itself. And that's something that, as you quite rightly say, is something that, you know, PhDs have been written on. But we are drawing also the fact that the Pahlavi regime in Iran was established for, you know, in a coup d'etat in 1941, the Mohammad Reza Pahlavi that we knew, the one that was...
The role of British behind it.
Yeah, the British and the Americans in the coup.
U.S. administration, yes.
50 years it was established by the great superpowers, the principal superpower being the Americans.
And 50 years is a long way.
A long way. Where
to
Iran,
gain people's heart.
Exactly. And in Iran... It was established as the policeman of the Gulf.
The gendarme of the region.
With a very, very powerful army, one of the strongest in the region. Even Israel was no match for whatever the Shah was getting at the time. And how did that quickly dissolve the way it did by this great personality? I mean, it draws two very interesting parallels about Iran's history in the face of Islam.
Good question again. If you go look at the history, what kind of situation people were in? My answer to you is very simple. It all boils down to one thing. And
yes.
The word is dignity.
Ah.
We're talking about reference here. لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ Quran is talking to us. Anytime you want to study somebody, look or study the ideology behind that
person.
Mentality behind that person.
Person, yes.
You cannot study Imam Khomeini without knowing Quran.
Would I be wrong in saying, Dr. Husni, dignity and faith?
Dignity and faith, they're going together. Okay?
Right.
But dignity is something that if somebody claims, you know, on the surface that, oh, I don't believe in, even if I don't believe in God, but I'm not a beast, I'm not animal, I'm human for God's sake, then he says, for God's sake. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Unintentionally
yeah, yeah.
uses the word.
Word.
Okay?
Because God gave
because
the dignity,
God gave him
the honor and dignity
God,
to man.
God gave it to him.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Dignity is not something...
And it's being trampled on by dictatorship.
Exactly. And this is what you see. If you ask me what happened to Egyptian people, why they came to the Tahrir Square to regain their dignity.
Dignity.
The dignity that... It was kidnapped. It was hijacked.
Hijacked.
It was robbed, I should say.
Robbed, yes.
This is
robbed,
a better
I think,
word.
Is a better word, yeah.
If you feel that you are abused, okay,
yeah.
If you all feel that you are attacked with every single cell in your entire body, by the way, if you have to talk about this in a deeper and different layer, you have to talk about the definition of human.
Yes.
According to what Islam
says, yes, that's right, because
okay.
that's the ideology we're coming from.
Because remember, one of the, we're talking about human human problems in general in the last program. And one thing I mentioned, that we are trapped into these five senses.
That's right.
But there is something beyond that.
Yes.
Okay.
And this is what this expertise also witnessed, to the fact that, you know, beyond whatever intelligence or whatever things were there in place in order to, because let's be honest here. Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, was never, ever envisaged by the Americans or the Soviet Union, for that matter, that such a person would ever come to power in Iran. They were expecting the Shah to be there forevermore. Amen. So that, as you quite rightly say, according to that, those materialistic senses and sights, the intelligence went badly wrong.
Brother, when one way of studying one society is to get back to their song.
Mm. Get back to the hymn sheet.
Exactly. In West,
and start singing from the same one.
In West, you know as well as I do,
yeah,
there is a song that says, no respect,
yeah,
no respect, and they repeated it.
Yeah.
And they mean it.
Mm.
When you're talking about dignity, Mr. Rejoz, you're not talking about something in vacuum. You're talking about reality on the ground.
Absolutely.
We are different, by definition, from Quranic. If I get a chance to tell you about the reference and talk about it for a few seconds.
Sure. If not now, we'll do it in the next session. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Because it's very important in order to understand the root cause for people uprising.
Exactly.
For people, if you ask him why you are not satisfied with your situation.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
The respect, the dignity, the nobility. Brother, in one word, we are different than every different creation that the entire universe is based on. We are different in every different aspect. We have so many different dimensions. We have to understand and recognize and study ourselves. We have to get back to the drawing point.
Exactly. Exactly.
We have to talk about this stuff. Otherwise, we don't know.
Well,
you don't know the immensity of the claim.
Which is big. Well, let's make an attempt at it anyway, because in a program like this, this is what we're trying to do. But what we are seeing is, in our concluding remarks in this particular session, is that knowing thyself, which in transcendent philosophy or anything else you may like, we don't need to get complicated about it.
But we need to talk simple.
Simple. But knowing thyself makes you know your creator. And this is something that Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah, took right to the end of his life, because this is what he was trying to instill in us and to make us wake up to the fact of exactly who we are and what we are. But we'll leave it for this particular moment on this note. But I thank you very much, Dr. Hasni, for this very valuable discussion. Really, I've enjoyed it. And I hope listeners have enjoyed it too. And I hope you'll join us again on another session of The Man Who Changed the World. Thank you very much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all.